Green Bay, Sven Gidendine.
Hold on.
Offense passed out gifts like a department store Santa Claus. And the hustling Cowboys gleefully scooped up the goodies.
Gleefully scooped up the goodies.
That's what we do on this show. We gleefully scoop up the goodies. Like the doomsday defense.
That's when Derek brings cupcakes in for all of us, actually.
And I thought about it today, but I had to take my...
Don't tease us like that.
Had to take my peeps to the airport, man. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all
right.
Next
week.
Willie Dominic, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Speaking of the Super Bowl, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. He is live in the Bay Area ahead of Super Bowl 60. Hi, Chad. How are you?
Doing well, guys.
So, Chad, you've been out there all week. What is the most interesting thing you saw or heard during your week on Super Bowl Radio Row?
Well, the most interesting thing that we did or got to do was we've got an interview with Tony Vitello, new San Francisco Giants manager, where we were welcomed into Oracle Park and into the clubhouse for the interview. And Hutton and I got a chance to sit down with Tony for about 22 minutes, which is funny because he was number 22 at Tennessee, and he joked about calling Will Clark and asking to unretire his number to wear number 22 in the interview. So that was definitely the most interesting thing that we saw. I'll say this, guys, like, this has been a very news-light week in terms of the game itself, as opposed to most Super Bowls. You know, it's not been a lot of talk about the actual game between the Patriots and the Seahawks.
I thought you were going to say Ryan Leaf trying to fight that internet doctor.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, Adam, because we have Dr. Chow on our show a lot, and he has a kind of a partnership with OutKick. He joined us right after Ryan Leaf went off on him, and we didn't know what had just happened. And he wasn't even that off or anything. So I didn't see the awful announcing story. Ryan Leaf's walking around the next day. We brought him over and had him on the show. And before he started, because we were friends with Ryan, too, and have had him on a lot. And Ryan Leaf says, you want to get into the Dr. Chow stuff? Let's go. And I'm like, sure. And, I mean, he he's to call him a despicable human being. His face is shaking as he's talking about it. I asked him, would you ever speak to him to clear the air? And he said, no, I have no interest in talking to him. It was wild. So, yeah, anytime you get a media skirmish, it's always an eventful day.
Indeed. So you said that it's a light news week ahead of this matchup, but how would you describe the level of the Mike Vrabel love fest ahead of this game?
It's a 9.5 out of 10. I mean, he's the biggest celebrity in this game right now is Mike Vrabel. So there's no doubt about that. You don't have the high profile quarterback matchup you've had in recent years. So everybody's kind of drawn to
them. Well, Chad's phone is breaking up. Hopefully we can get him in a, can you hear us, Chad?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. We just broke up there. Okay. You're good now.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think it's at a 9.5 out of 10 with Vrabel because he's the biggest celebrity in this game. You know, there's no Pat Mahomes in this game. There's no huge superstar player. It's Mike Vrabel, and I don't think most people could pick Mike McDonald out if he was standing in their front yard. They wouldn't know who he was. The quarterback matchup isn't as high profile in years past. So, yeah, I think everybody's talking about Mike Vrabel because he's the biggest star at the Super Bowl.
Now, looking at, let's switch over to college basketball, college sports, period. Looking at what's going on in not just Alabama, but there are a couple other places. And Ralph Russo wrote an article about it in The Athletic about what's going on. How do you think all of this sort of shakes out? Because we've heard Sankey, he made a statement about it, and he seems to be on the side of the NCAA, which I think he should be, because I think they're – should be an age requirement. But how do you think this all shakes out?
You know, it's really hard to know because these local courts, you know, continue to side with the local players, and that's always going to trump NCAA rules. I mean, the only way it goes away is if teams just all, you know, decide to form a pact and say, you know, we're not going to do this. And that's kind of what everybody wants with the Bediako case, where it's pretty clear, you know, you shouldn't be able to go and play in college and then give up your eligibility and play football and come back. And I think everybody almost agrees on that. But yet, he hasn't had his day in court yet. So the temporary restraining order is still in place, and you can't do anything on it. So I don't know how it all shakes out. You know, even locally with Tennessee and Joey Aguilar, I mean, yeah, that would be great for Tennessee. It's bad for the sport. I think Diego Pavia getting the extra year, great for Vandy, bad for the sport. Bad precedent to set with the lawsuit and with the rules changing. So, guys, I don't really know where it all goes, but I know right now it's a mess. And as long as local courts are going to trump the process of the NCAA rules, then we're going to continue to have more and more of this.
Do you expect to see that where, you know, if you did it, I'm going to do it. Well, if they did it, I'm going to do it. You expect to see that in the court moving forward? Because we don't know what the NCAA is going to ultimately do. But do you expect to see more of that where individually these states are doing what's best for their university, at least their state university?
I think you're going to see more of the Joey Aguilar, Trinidad Chambliss variety of this. I don't know. I think Betty Ocko's kind of an outlier, mm-hmm. and we're not going to see a lot more of that. But yet, guys who have just been in college or played college sports and didn't leave to go pro, I think you're going to see them continue to challenge, and with help of the school too, to stay eligible and continue playing college football, especially at the quarterback position. I do think that's going to continue to happen. I don't know that we're going to see a lot more Charles Bediakos, especially if the court eventually rules against them.
And the G League thing is one thing. The Europe thing is more complicated when you say for the basketball part of it, Chad. And some coaches would say, I'd rather have the young pro out of Europe mm-hmm. than the kid from the G League, at least in a lot of cases. So how do you try to police the whole world, right? Because that's what you got to do if you're going to cut off the G League thing. But this is why you can't open the can of worms.
Yeah, and I just think that, Willie, I mean, and you know the difference in the European leagues and the G League and everything else. It's just – when you add that step of Charles Bediako was a starter on the Alabama basketball team, a team that was very good, and he was there for 2 years, and he made a mistake, and he left early, and it hadn't panned out in the pros. And then to come back at the end of that, that's the big difference. If a guy is European, he's playing in the EuroLeagues, never played college basketball, and then he starts his clock, you know, eventually after playing there, I think it's just a little bit different than someone who almost – it's like a free pass. You know, it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. Hey, I made a terrible professional decision, but let me go back and make a bunch of money to play college basketball again. I just think, again, it's just different with Bediako versus the – and I think all of them are wrong to different extents for the sport itself, but I think Bediako is an outlier.
What is Trinidad Chambliss's argument? I'm trying to figure that one out myself.
Isn't he arguing something about an injury? Even though he played in the games that would disqualify him for a medical red shirt, that he should get a medical red shirt year, I think is what he's arguing. I mean, honestly, like, I don't want to make light of all this, but what's Joey Aguilar arguing?
Right.
I mean, they just want to keep playing.
Right. I think that's, you know, that's like, where you have to have
one more
some,
year.
Yeah. It's like if you had 100 just regular people in there, it's just hard to win that argument. At some point, you're like, okay, you've been in college for a long time. Let's move on. And what about the kids that are coming up through high school? Those are the kids I always continue to think about, is the logjam that's created by all of these people able to stay an extra year or two.
Well, I'm thinking about George McIntyre at Tennessee right now, you know, kind of waiting in the wings. He was a five-star recruit at Brentwood Academy. He looked like he was going to be the starter, but the whole time, Aguilar has still been on campus. He's been rehabbing after surgery. He's been around the facility. He's going to class. He's trying to be the starter also. So if he wins this court case and he's the starter, then George McIntyre probably transfers. You know, you're talking about the churn of the players beneath the guys who are sticking around college forever until they're 25, 26 years old. And again, the argument, and I'm a Tennessee guy, and Aguilar would be great for Tennessee. It's wrong for the sport. Because the argument is just, well, I'm sacrificing a lot of money because I'm not an NFL quarterback, and I could make $2 million this next year, which is, you know, generational money for me to come back and play at Tennessee. Well, it's against the rules. I mean, that's the only argument is, this sucks for me that I have to leave college, right? And I think if that's the argument for Chambliss or Pavia or Aguilar or anyone, I think it's wrong. I don't think it's what's best for the rules of the sport.
I'm curious, after your interview with Tony Vitello, how do you think he will do in the major leagues?
You know, I asked him specifically, like, can you carry this, like, you know, energy drink level atmosphere that you bring to a team for 162 games. And he brought up Logan Webb, you know, pitcher for the Giants. And he's like, you know, I'm going to coach some older guys who have a process and have to do. I'm here to help them, help those guys in any way that I can. But he said, you know, 80% of major league players are a lot like the guys that I've coached at Tennessee. They're a little bit wild. They're wild men. They don't mind all of that. With other guys who are older, like, you know, you got to let up a little bit. But he just wants guys to be who they are. I'll say this, Willie. I have no clue how he's going to do. And we talked a little bit about this. If he doesn't do well, he's going to come back to college and probably be the highest paid coach in college baseball. So he could always go back to college where we know he's an excellent coach. But I think the baseball world is watching. They open on March 26th, the only game that day, against the Yankees at Oracle Park in San Fran, and it's the first game that ever aired on Netflix for Major League Baseball. So there is going to be a circus surrounding Tony Vitello because it's so unprecedented to see a college coach that's never coached professionally get a Major League Baseball managerial spot. So I think everybody, the eyes of the sport are kind of on him to see if this succeeds. But I have no idea. I mean, he's done well in college. Will it translate to Major League Baseball? We'll find out soon enough.
I think there'll be a lot of people watching closely to see how that goes. You're right. And I think of all the college basketball coaches, like a Tubby Smith or a John Calipari that tried the pro thing, ended up coming back. So I'm more of a college guy. There's plenty of people like that, and Vitello would be one. And it's sort of unprecedented in baseball, right? There's just not a lot of stories, if any, of great college baseball coaches becoming great major league managers.
I was researching this. I don't think it's happened. I think we've had guys who I think coached a little bit in the minor leagues, then went and coached college, then got a job in Major League Baseball from the college ranks. But I don't think we've ever seen a guy who was a career assistant and then head coach in college baseball, skip everything else and go straight to the majors. And it's a lot about his relationship with the GM there, his relationship with Buster Posey, also, which he gets into in the interview. But, I mean, I'm fascinated to watch this. And are they going to make an example, Major League Baseball umpires, we asked them about this. You think you're going to get tossed early? They're going to be eyeing you because of your reputation coming in with umpires, right? Like, all of these things, it makes it a must-watch. And Tony Vitello could become one of the biggest celebrities in the sport very quickly if that team's good. With his personality and how magnetic that guy is, I think he could be great for Major League Baseball if he could get things rolling here in San Francisco.
Chad, this is an outside-the-box question for you, but from afar, can't you see the intrigue of this, right? You know all about Jimmy Sexton and CAA and Nick Saban. Right, so here's this firm that's going to go hire the next Predators GM. But there's Elliot Friedman's talking about some pushback, how the NHL doesn't go for that, having agents in the mix representing coaches and GMs as well as players. Other sports, they do it. Hockey really hasn't done it. But can you imagine Jimmy Sexton and his influence getting in on the NHL? That's a new world there.
That's a very different accent Jimmy Sexton will be dealing with as opposed to a lot of his clients, I feel like, yes. Right? Like when you go to Saskatchewan and get talent, it's very different than going to Tupelo, Mississippi for Jimmy Sexton because he's synonymous to me with the South. And, you know, he's Memphis-based, obviously, but lives here in Nashville now. I know a lot as well, and SEC coaches and all that. But he's also a kingmaker. So, yeah, I think it'd be great if he dips his toes into the NHL in representation there as well because he's proven himself to be one of the most influential men in football for sure, especially with his coaching. And the Nick Saban part of this really fascinates me with Sexton, with the Predators and everything else. Is what kind of influence is he going to have on the organization?
By the way, the Giants hiring of Vitello marked the first time a big league team hired a manager directly from a college program without any experience as a professional coach. So a first
completely
in Major League
unprecedented.
Baseball. Yes.
And guys, to take you behind the scenes a little bit too, we walked up to the park and Tony came and met us and we're walking around and he doesn't even know what gate to enter yet to go to the down to the field. And we were trying to get in and he's a very nice guy. And one of the security guards is like, well, you can't get in here without a credential. And he's like, yeah, I don't have a credential. I'm sorry. I've got someone coming to meet me. And I'm thinking that would have been a very easy moment to say, hey, do you know who I am? I'm the manager of the San Francisco Giants. Let me and my friends in. But instead, he waited for someone to come out and get him. We walked through the left field wall down to home plate, then into the dugout, into the clubhouse. But he's still like walking around talking to Floyd Field for everything at his new job, which he has not completely learned everything about it yet. So it's kind of fun behind the scenes to watch that happen. But unprecedented, historical, Adam, as you just said, it's never happened before.
Brandon in Herbichid says, where can I find this OutKick interview with Tony Vitello?
We are piecing it together. There's going to be some preview clips of it, and we will post it. I believe the plan is when pitchers and catchers report on Tuesday, the full interview will be out there. So I don't make the call on that, guys, but apparently we are holding on to it until Tuesday. That's how valuable it is to the company.
I'm just picturing the guy at the gate that's telling him, hey, you can't come in until we've got to get this sorted out. I believe you, but we got to get your credential. Like, Tony Vitello is going to be one of the bigger stories at the beginning of the season. That guy is going to be kicking himself going, geez, the manager came in here. I didn't know who he was.
Well, I had a chance to talk to him.
Here's another really funny part, guys, about this behind the scenes. We're walking, and I'm walking with my buddy Clay Travis, who's now pretty big celebrity also, and he's buddies with Tony Vitello, and me and Hutton are walking outside the park. And you know how they have, like, the energy drink girls that are passing out free energy drinks to people and trying to get pictures of you drinking the energy drink? Well, these two girls approach us and get a picture with all of us, with Tony Vitello and Clay Travis in the photo, just generic, holding the energy drink that they're hawking on everybody. And I'm thinking, those girls have no idea what type of fine they just had with that when they just posted on that energy drink page, not knowing that they've got Clay Travis and the manager of the San Francisco Giants out in front of yeah. Oracle Park.
Yeah, we met these nice guys. We got some more people.
Yeah. And it should surprise no one, Tony Vitello, big energy drink guy. Down that energy drink in about 3 minutes.
No surprise there. Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow has been our guest on D-Maze Vingan and Donicky. Joins us every Friday. Chad, great stuff as always. We look forward to the Tony Vitello interview, and we'll catch up next week.
Hey guys, thanks. Talk to you soon.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, ahead of the Super Bowl, there is something that has divided football. And no, it's not Bad Bunny's halftime show. Could we see it Sunday? We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025. In the meantime, we do have a giveaway. If you would like a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Ryman this Tuesday, February 10th, be caller number 4. 615-737-1025. Caller number 4 will win a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Ryman Auditorium this coming Tuesday, February 10th. Call now. Caller number 4. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025. The game.